For this morning's worship connection, I wanted to offer you a whole variety of things. First, I want to draw your attention to the Ukraine memorial that was created by four women in the congregation: Ann Wintick, Kristen Bean, Mary Benbow, and my mom, who all contributed a different element to help make this possible. Take a look at the picture and the Facebook post that accompanied it, which I have included a screenshot in the worship email this morning. And we are so grateful and honored to have such a beautiful memorial for the people of Ukraine and the women of Ukraine in our sanctuary. Also, thank you for sending me all of the photos of your sprouts. The seeds that you planted about 17 or so days ago have begun to sprout, and I'm glad that you are enjoying seeing God's work unfold through this way of looking at new life come from the darkness. Speaking of darkness, we've had our second meeting of our Lenten book study. It just concluded yesterday. We've been having good conversations about what does it mean to dwell in both physical and spiritual darkness? What is darkness and what does it have to teach us? There's still a chance for you to come and join us for our third session, which will be on April 2nd at 4 p.m. I will send the Zoom link out in advance, but it's also one that it's the same Zoom link that I emailed everyone at the beginning of Lent. So you are most welcome to join us, and you don't have to have read the entire book. We will discuss the last three chapters on April 2nd, but even if you haven't read them, you can still come and participate in the conversation because we all have a story of our relationship to darkness. Because Barbara Brown Taylor is the author of the book that we've read, when we met in our book study the other day, I shared some videos of Barbara Brown Taylor in a discussion about the book with Oprah. I thought that I would expose all of you to Barbara Brown Taylor in person, in the way that she comes across as a preacher. She's an Episcopal priest. So you will see that I included a sermon by Barbara Brown Taylor, which you have hopefully already watched. And this will help you get to know her, get to know one of America's most prominent spiritual writers and theologians, contemporary theologians. And the most recent book that she's written has been about other faith traditions and encounters with other faith traditions, very similar to the work that we did in 2018 when our theme as a church that year was Who is My Neighbor in 2018. Many of you will remember that we went and visited spiritual and religious communities across San Diego. We went to a Ramadan iftar at a local mosque in Rancho Santa Fe. We visited a Buddhist temple downtown. We went and experienced all of the different rich and vibrant faith communities that are around us. And we developed a long-lasting relationship with Congregation Beth El, which is a conservative Jewish congregation here in La Jolla. At the beginning of Barbara's sermon, she talks about someone named Krister Stendahl. And I wanted to spend a moment talking about him, because he's somebody who has had a great deal of influence on my own education and on my own ministry. Krister Stendahl was perhaps one of the most famous people to ever teach at Harvard Divinity School, other than, say, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Krister Stendahl died in 2008. He was a bishop in the Church of Sweden, and he served as Harvard Divinity School's dean in the early 80s. He left his position as dean at Harvard Divinity School when he was elected as Bishop of Stockholm in the Church of Sweden. The curriculum of Harvard Divinity School has been shaped almost single-handedly by the thought of Krister Stendahl. And his main idea was that the best form of theological education is one that is interfaith. And HDS is widely known as one of the most prominent interfaith theological schools in the world, which means that not only do Christians attend, but Muslims, people who are Jewish, people who are Buddhist, people who are agnostic and atheist or have no faith, tradition, or background whatsoever, Quakers, and everyone in between. Everything and everyone is welcome at a place like HDS. And that's largely because of the way that Christer Stendahl thought that formation for ministry should happen. He believed it should happen in a pluralistic, open-minded, theologically rich, and diverse community. Now, Barbara Brown Taylor, in her sermon, talks about his three rules of engagement. And this is core to who HDS is and what we are taught. And it's the reason why my focus in ministry has been so directed in the way of experiencing those who have faith that's different from us, learning who our neighbors are, having authentic encounters with other people, going and visiting them on their own turf, not having them come onto ours, but us going to them to see and to smell the tastes, the flavors, the sights, and the sounds of what another religious community is like. Christer Stendahl's three rules of engagement. First, when you're trying to understand another religion, you should ask the adherents of that religion, not its critics or its enemies. Second, don't compare your best to their worst. And three, leave room for holy envy. Now, when Christer Stendahl first revealed these three rules of engagement, he did not really elaborate on what holy envy was. And it's something that has been discussed, written about, talked about, lectured about. In fact, there were courses titled Holy Envy. It was a whole thing, a whole category, if you can imagine, of discussion. People would mention their holy envy. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what that was. Barbara Brown Taylor touched on it a little bit, but I wanted to just dig a little bit deeper into how these three rules came to be. In 1985, which was just recently after Christer Stendahl was elected Bishop of Stockholm, he was called to a press conference because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was opening their new temple in Stockholm. It was their first temple in that country. And Sweden, which usually had a reputation for being very open and very tolerant, did not receive this temple rather gracefully. There were people that were upset with the way that it looked, with the way that it was constructed, and that this American-based religion was coming and establishing a presence in Sweden. And Christer Stendahl, as the main bishop of the Church of Sweden, held a press conference where he listed out his three rules of engagement. And he talked about holy envy. Now, Christer Stendahl had holy envy for certain aspects of the Latter-day Saint faith. The one that he liked the most was baptism of the dead, which is a practice that is core to Latter-day Saint theology, and it's what happens mostly in temples. Temples are constructed in order to perform baptism of the dead, which means that family members or folks who were born and died before the advent of the Latter-day Saint movement can have the option or the opportunity to be baptized by a proxy. This is something that really only Latter-day Saints do, and it's something that's core to their doctrine and their faith. Christer Stendahl was a theologian who had a doctorate in New Testament studies, and he was really interested in this idea of baptism. And he was very interested and intrigued by this idea of baptism of the dead. But his religion did not practice that. The Church of Sweden does not endorse that. However, Christer Stendahl was able to have holy envy. Holy envy is when there's an aspect of another faith that we appreciate, something that makes sense to us, something that's comforting. It's not from our own religious vocabulary, but it's something that we can still appreciate. And in that appreciation, we can find common ground with people of other faiths. For example, a Jewish person can have holy envy for the quiet worship of Quakers. Or we can have holy envy even for another denomination. We could say we have holy envy for the reverence of a Roman Catholic worship service. Or we could have holy envy for the way in which Muslims are so devout in their practice of fasting during Ramadan. We can have holy envy for the ways in which the holidays of Judaism are practiced in community and connect people together around rituals which are so life-giving. Even though these things are not a part of our own religious tradition, we can still appreciate them. We can still leave room for some holy envy, where we notice things that we like about other faith traditions, and that's okay. And that helps us have stronger, more authentic encounters with people from these other faith traditions. And alongside that, we adhere to his first two rules. We don't compare our best to their worst. And when we try to understand them, we don't go to their critics or their adversaries. We talk to the people themselves. I wanted to share this with you because Christer Stendahl is someone that I've yet to talk about, but he's someone who had an enormous impact on my life and by extension, the life of this congregation, because the theological orientation in which I was educated was developed almost single-handedly by him. At HDS, we had the Stendahl Room. Every year, we had the Stendahl Symposium. There's a Christer Stendahl Scholarship. His name surrounds us on campus, and he shaped our curriculum and the way of forming ministers when he was dean of HDS that has continued to have a deep impact today. I've included a video clip where you can actually see Christer Stendahl himself talk about his holy envy for Baptism of the Dead. He agreed to appear in a documentary that the Latter-day Saint Church produced, and again, showing his willingness to engage across religious difference. One would never think that a bishop of the Church of Sweden, which is a Lutheran-based church, would appear in a documentary produced by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But Christer Stendahl is someone who was willing to cross boundaries, who was willing to engage with others, and in so doing, his own faith and his own relationship with Christ was strengthened whenever he did so. So I hope that as we continue this year to maybe have some more of these experiences where we cross boundaries together, where we experience the faith of another, that we can have a stronger relationship with our own Savior, that we can be strengthened and fulfilled in our own faith while experiencing the faith of another. I will continue to appear in your email inboxes this week with a daily Lenten moment, but I wanted to leave you with these words from the Talmud. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. May it be so. Amen.